Hi, my name is Teal, and I'm your host for the SweatNet Be Amazing podcast, where we share stories of amazing women who live in our communities. My hope is that you will feel encouraged and inspired after listening to each episode. Have you experienced a devastated loss? Have you been in a place where you felt like someone has pulled the rug out from under you? You feel depleted, you feel discouraged, you feel like life is caving in and there's no hope. Well, I want to encourage you today that there is hope and that there is a way for you to move on and live a healthy life. You can go from barely surviving to thriving. And a perfect example of this is Erin Lando, and she's my guest today. She's going to be sharing her story. She lost her daughter, Arielle, who was 11 years old, to a disease. And then a couple of years later, she battled thyroid cancer herself. And both times, there were moments when she just didn't even want to move on. She just didn't even feel like living anymore. Like it wasn't worth it. Like she felt just totally devastated and crushed. But she found hope and she chose to move forward. And I can say now that she has gone from barely surviving to thriving. She talks about how fitness and creativity have been outlets for her and have allowed her to heal and help her heal. So I'm really excited to share this conversation, and my hope is that you will be moved, encouraged, and inspired. And today my guest is Erin Lando, artist, wife, mama to an angel, and thyroid cancer kick-asser. Welcome to the show, Erin.
Oh, thank you, Seal. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited to have you, and this podcast is very special because we are going to be talking about your daughter, Arielle, who is an angel, and this is just our way of celebrating her and her life. So with that said, tell us a little bit about Arielle.
Well, with that intro, I think I might tear up already. So, Arielle was my daughter, who is, as Seal mentioned, an angel now. Kind of going back, I remember growing up and I always knew that I wanted to be a mom. I knew I'd be a career woman as well because my mom was, but I didn't really care about what I did. I just dreamt about being a mom. So when Arielle was born, it was just like everything came together. I still remember like holding her on my chest and just her little body and how she smelled. I mean, I can still smell that. And if you're a mom, you know what I'm talking about. She came out like this old soul, which was crazy. And I thought that's just how all kids were until probably about 5 or 6 years ago when I realized, oh, they're not all like that. But she just came out an old soul, and literally from like day one, just like live life to its fullest. She wanted to experience everything. Started to dance at 2 years old, went to dance class, learned how to swim. She just wanted to be with her friends, didn't want to miss anything. When she was probably about two and a half, three, she started getting a little bit sick. We didn't really think too much of it, but she would get like just, you know, regular viruses, but she would not get, I mean, she'd keep them for a long time. Like she would be sick for like a month and a half with like a GI bug or a cold. So I took her in and doctor said, yep, this is probably the way her immune system is, you know, just try to keep her healthy. That was it. So went through another couple of years like that, and her periods of time where she was sick just kept growing. So it felt like she was just always sick. And it was predominantly then just GI symptoms. So finally got her into a GI doctor, and they diagnosed her with Crohn's disease. So we're like, okay, still remember at the hospital. So she had to have a colonoscopy and an endoscopy, had to put her under for it. Doctor came out to the waiting room and it's like, okay, this is pretty sure this is what it is. This is what it looks like. It's like, okay. And he said, you know, she'll be fine. You know, the worst thing she'll have to deal with is she's not going to be able to be an astronaut. I was so upset. I was like, what? How dare you say that she can't be something? I was pissed. I still am. You can tell.
Right. I can tell. Like you're getting angry right now.
How dare you? But it that's what it was. And she was on, you know, different medications like prednisone, a couple other meds, but did well, did not stop her, which was so interesting to me looking back. She would have flare-ups, and with Crohn's, I mean, she had diarrhea. I mean, and it was not, it was just bad. And as a little kid, I felt horrible for her. But she would tell you, I feel fine. I want to go to dance class. I want to go to swim team practice. Like, she didn't want to miss anything. And she just, I mean, literally danced and swam her little heart out. And again, lived her life to its fullest. And at that time, you know, she's my only child. That's all I know. So I thought that's just the way kids are. And, you know, didn't think much of it. Fast forward to when she was 11, she would have been 12 later in the summer. She just had some really weird symptoms, a lot of pain in her legs, just not herself. Happened to have a GI visit with her doctor, and he's like, you know, maybe it's results of some new medication. She had started having infusion therapy because she was starting to flare up more and more. And little side note, which is ironic when I think about it, took her in for her infusion therapy. And it was, you go in and it's where people are getting chemotherapy. So a lot of children that have cancer. And I remember going in and thinking, thank God, you know, that we're dealing with Crohn's. Thank God that we're not, you know, having to deal with cancer. And then, you know, fast forward to 2017, and I personally was diagnosed with cancer. But, you know, 11 years old, weird symptoms, GI doc said maybe it's a result of her medicine. We ended up going to the ER, didn't know what was wrong with her. Long story short, she was in the hospital for almost a month. I mean, I'm obviously not sharing all the details, but they just didn't know what was wrong. We had infectious disease doctors. We had every specialty that you can think of rotating through, all the tests you can think of. She just wasn't doing well. And then at one point, she just wasn't herself, was complaining of a really, really bad headache. And she had had a stroke. Which for being a mom and have, you know, 11-year-old kid, that's not something you would, that doesn't happen. And she, at that point, you know, really couldn't communicate, could say yes and no, but didn't mean yes or no. It was like, I remember thinking, oh my goodness, I have, she was almost like a 2-year-old in an 11-year-old body, because she was so frustrated because she knew what she wanted to communicate and she was scared. And I happened to be at the hospital with her by myself too, for a host of reasons. And I remember the first thing I thought of was, okay, I've got to go take a run. And I remember looking at the doctor who came in to tell me that she had had a stroke. And I'm like, I just got to go. Like, I need to tell her, but I don't know how to say it because I don't want to leave my daughter here. But that was my instinct, because I needed to put a pair of running shoes on and I needed to run down the street and go as far as I could to see if, I don't know if I, to see if it would change the situation. I have no idea, but it was, maybe it's that fight or flight. But I had always, you know, growing up, I had been very active, swam through college and then took up running. And so running was my outlet. Like, that's how I dealt with stress, or if I needed to process information, I would go for a long run. I didn't go for the run, and I sat, you know, with Arielle, and we had ups and downs over the next few weeks. At one point, she had a day where she was doing a lot better, and she was communicating, and I mean, it was like night and day. Day prior, still, it was just very limited words that she could use. But that particular day, she went through a book my brother had put together, like a prayer vigil for the community, put together a book with all these pictures and, you know, notes from her friends, and she was looking at it, and she's like, for me? All for me? I was like, yes, it's for you. And I remember she asked me if she was supposed to be in heaven. And I said, no, you're supposed to be here. You're supposed to be here. And I'll step back just a few days, or maybe it's probably a week prior to this day. She had actually coded. And I remember, the code going off and everybody rushing in, and they took her in and did a CAT scan. She had had another stroke. And I remember a nurse taking me out of the room, but I could still hear everything. And she said, do you believe in God? And I said, I do. She goes, well, you need to pray. And so I did. And Ariel recovered. She came back. So fast forward to the day she's doing better, and she asked me if she's supposed to be in heaven. And I'm like, no, you're supposed to be here. You're supposed to be with me. There's so much more that you're going to do. Well, that night, she was doing so well that they were actually going to move her out of the PICU. So she had never even gotten out of the PICU, but they didn't have a bed on the general med floor. So she's going to have to be there one more night. And I knew it was going to be the long haul. I knew there was going to be, she had clots in her arms. They were thinking that they were going to probably have to amputate her arm, probably her leg. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to run to Target right down the street. I hadn't left. I think I left the hospital maybe twice in that month. And I'm going to go get her some things, because we're going to move into a new room and I'm going to get her a clock and all the stuff. And when I was gone, I get a call. And my answer, I was gone maybe 15, 20 minutes of that. And it was one of the nurses. And she said, you need to come back. I was like, oh, okay. Is everything okay? She goes, just, you need to come back. I said, okay. So I get back, and the door to the PICU, you had to, it was locked. So you had to get, buzz in. They were so used to me that they'd see me coming on the camera and they just opened the doors. Well, this time they didn't. And so I stood out there and I'm buzzing, and finally, a nurse comes and she takes me in, and she said, well, Ariel had another stroke. I'm like, okay. And I'm like, you know what? We're getting through all this, so it's going to be fine. And she said, this time it's in her brainstem, and we don't think she's going to recover. And it just, as a mom, as a parent, you don't think your child's ever going to go. But she did. And it's still, it's been 7 years. There's been some time, but it's still, obviously, it's still surreal. And I still miss her every second, every day. I do think that, God gave me that gift of that last day for her to be able to communicate. And I actually, the last thing she said to me, the last thing I heard was when I was leaving to go to Target, and I told her, I felt horrible because she didn't really want me to go, but she said, I love you, Mom. And that's, I can still hear it. So anyway, that was a lot of her story of what happened to her. But I look back and I think, she lived such a full life when she was here. It's like, I think subconsciously she knew, there was some, she knew. And so, because she did everything. A month before she went into the hospital, we were living in Colorado at the time, and we went up to the mountain, had some cousins that were skiing. I don't ski, she did. And so we get there and she looks at me, she goes, well, Mom, you're gonna ski. I was like, well, I don't have skis. I'm not skiing. And she looked at me and said, well, they rent them right there. So you can go rent skis, Mom. And I looked at her and I was like, oh my gosh. Okay, I'm her mom. I'm scared, but I can't, I have to. This is an example that I've got to give her. And so she taught me to ski. I did it and I was scared and she took me up. And she was a tiny, she was itty bitty for her age. But she taught me how to ski. And I remember one point I fell and I was like, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get up. And I looked down and she just, swishing down, and she looks back at me and is like, come on. So that was Ariel. Just funny. And she sparkled, her eyes just sparkled, and she danced every minute she could. After she passed, she had a phone, and I was looking at a lot of the videos that she had taken. She had all these videos of herself dancing, and it was just, I mean.
And I love it because you posted one of the videos, and immediately, like, just such life and joy. And you had told me that that was even a couple of months before she had passed. Mm-hmm. I was just like, so taken back. And it for you to take time and tell your story and share it. And it's so emotional and it's so real. And mm-hmm. I did not have the opportunity to meet her, but I know you, and you just grin ear to ear. Like when you talk about her and when you walk in a room, you light up. And I know that she was just like you, like hands down, hands down. But the fact that you can smile and the fact that you can continue to push yourself and do things and live life, you know, we had talked about this before, like it's been a little while since we first had the conversation. And there was mm-hmm. something that you said to me that really stuck. And because I'd asked you, I said, you know, most people I feel like could easily take a dive and go off the deep end. Mm-hmm. And you told me you had the choice. You were either going to live or you were going to die. Like those were your options. And you chose to live.
Yeah, absolutely.
You inspired that.
I knew, and I don't know how, but I knew there were two paths I could go down. I could live to the fullest, continue living my life, find purpose. Again, my purpose, even though I worked and I've done all these other things, my purpose was being a mom. So I could live with purpose and joy, or I thought the other path is I'm going to start drinking. Maybe I'll start doing drugs. I won't get out of bed. And I didn't want that. I didn't want that for me, and I didn't want that for her. A lot of times I think, you know, I learned so much from her when she was here, but I continue to learn from her now that she's up in heaven. Because I'm still here. So I have the opportunity to live and to experience and to connect with people. And I'm sure where she's at is, we have no idea. It's amazing, but I'm still here. So every day's a gift. And I remember, and I'll tell you this, it's not always easy. There are days, and like this year has been really difficult. And I was talking with you earlier that, right now we have all this craziness in the world. And so grief, losing a child, losing a loved one, whether it's a child, a spouse, a partner, a parent, a good friend, there's a lot of grief with that. But there's so much grief that we all experience outside of that. Grief is just loss. And, you know, with the pandemic and just with the craziness of the world right now, we've lost a lot of just our normalcy. You know, people have lost jobs. People probably have lost relationships. They've lost a sense of themselves. You know, maybe they're used to working outside the home and now they have to work in the home. It's just a lot of change and a lot of loss. And I think is also, you know, could be related. There's a grief aspect to it. This year's been tough. It was a milestone year. Also, Ariel would have graduated high school. You know, I'm assuming she would have been going to college. I'm seeing, you know, I've kept in touch with her friends, some of her friends and their families. They're actually heading off to college right now. It was difficult. And I was like, man, there were a couple of days where I was like, I don't really feel like getting up. And that was a first.
Well, what has inspired you, or what is that that keeps you going? What is it that when you find yourself in those places, where's your strength coming from?
Well, I've learned to be patient with myself. And I think there's a saying, you know, feel the feels. And if I feel like crap and I want to cry, I'm going to do it. I'm going to feel it. And I've learned that, you can have these like gray clouds come into your world or into your brain, and they're not always going to stay there. And sometimes you just have to patiently wait for them to go. But I've also, you know, I've done things like exercise. That's helped tremendously. And I had to shift what I was doing. I mentioned earlier that I used to be a runner, ran half marathons and marathons and loved it. That was, you know, somebody would say, you know, hey, you're in a bad mood or you're a little crabby, you should go out for a run. Okay, that's fine. Yeah. 2017, I was diagnosed with thyroid cancer and ended up having to have my thyroid removed and some of my lymph nodes, and had radiation therapy, and now I'm on thyroid replacement medicine, and it has really changed my body. And I noticed that those long runs just didn't feel good anymore. I would be literally wiped out for days. So my husband does a lot of strength training and is like, okay, well, I'm going to try that. And so that's what I focus in on now. And it's just that time for myself. And I work out alone, but I can either listen to a podcast like the one you do, or music or something, or sometimes I won't listen to anything. And I'm able to just have that quiet. And for whatever reason, that you know, lifting weights just kind of gets you into that rhythm. So that helps tremendously. So exercise has been a huge, huge go-to for me. There have been some times where I haven't been able to, and I've artwork, doodling, drawing, painting, just something that's for me. And, you know, whatever the result is of the doodling, painting, or sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not, but it's time where, I don't know, I guess I can just let go of the thoughts and I can just, I don't know, it's almost meditative for me. But definitely, I think, you know, with everything going on, it's definitely challenging for people. And it's okay to not feel okay. And I think I've seen that flipping around recently. And it's true, it's okay to not feel okay. But, you know, find what inspires you, find what does make you feel good, that's healthy for you. And baby steps, do a little bit at a time. And I think, you know, habit also helps, you know, so do, you know, if it's running or walking or lifting weights, just a little bit each day. And for me, it's like, okay, I made progress, I did something, because I like to be productive. And so it feels good, it makes me feel good. And then for me personally, I ask Ariel to help, you know, can you help, you know, help me through this? And it may sound silly, but I want to make her proud. So I think that's another reason why I chose, and I really felt like it was a conscious decision that I was going to be okay. I want her to be proud. And then over the years, I've learned, not only do I want her to be proud, I want to be proud of myself. So I do it for me too.
I love that. Everything about that. You know, just the fact that you've been through all that you've been through in the amount of time, you know, like this, I feel like it's, you know, it really wasn't that long of time between her passing away and then you, you know, kicking cancer's ass. I mean, but it shows the strength of when you're tapping into the right things, and, mm-hmm. And that there is resilience and there is recovery and being okay. Like, you know, I think that's an important message, and it's okay to have moments where you break down, and it's okay not to be okay, and allow yourself to feel and be compassionate to yourself. I think as women, that is another thing, you know, we talk about different things that women struggle with. And another thing that we struggle with is allowing ourselves to have moments, because you're supposed to be the strong one. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to be
everybody. Right.
That's it. Yeah. And so I think that's really important. And I'm so glad that you shared that, and just coming from the things that you've experienced, but in the realness of it too, like, you know, we've talked several times about doing this podcast, and mm-hmm. you were just not in a place at that moment. Like, you just weren't there and ready. Right.
Yeah. And And it was hard because I, you know, I think I've mentioned to you, I never want to let anybody down, and I don't, you know, I feel like I've done so well. So part of me is like, oh my gosh, I'm not. So maybe I'm kind of a fraud. And but I've learned from it. I'm like, no, I'm not. It's okay. It's okay for me to feel like this. It's okay for me to say, you know what, I can't do it right now. It's okay for me to just be true to myself. And I just remembered something, and I don't know if I ever mentioned this to you. You know, we all deal with grief or life stresses different. And we have to honor what we need for ourselves. So it was probably three days after Ariel passed away. And it was one of those, like, I can't stay in bed. I can't. And so I'm going to go to the gym. And went to the gym, was working out, and a woman that I casually knew came up to me, and she's like, I'm so sorry. You know, I heard what happened. She goes, why are you here? And I remember for a minute, I was like, oh my gosh, is it wrong? Am I doing this wrong? Are people going to think like I didn't care? It just was this horrible feeling. And I was like, you know, I have to be here because I have to. I have to take care of myself. And I learned early that people deal with loss and stress different. So I always know, like, when somebody loses somebody and they don't act quite the way they're supposed to, I'm like, there's no way we're supposed to act. So yeah, I think you have to, we as women have to take care of ourselves and have to be okay with it. It's not selfish, because if we can't take care of ourselves, we can't take care of the ones we love.
So important and so true. Mm-hmm. It's so true with that, because I, again, agree with you on the fact of taking care of yourself. And my husband always says, you know, make sure you put your mask on before you try to put it on somebody else. Because a lot of times we do that. We're too busy taking care of everybody that we neglect us. And I actually had this conversation with another inspiring woman in Charlotte, and we were talking about the same thing. And even to workouts, mm-hmm. like going to work out, like, it's okay. Like, you should, like, you need that. Like, that's a great way to handle stress.
Yeah. I don't know when that happened in history where we thought it wasn't okay to take care of ourselves. I don't know. I'm sure there's a point in time where I don't know, but it just, yeah, it amazes me that we just have that ingrained into ourselves that taking care of ourselves can be, you know, we might feel selfish for doing it, but we just have to get over it. And
right on.
We do.
Push that off. Push it off to the side.
Yeah.
Well, I want to go back and talk really quick about your artwork, because you have, this all started right after, you know, after Ariel had passed, you started using this as an outlet along with working out. And some of your artwork is really, really amazing and sweet. And I just would encourage anyone to get on Instagram and follow you, because some of the things that you put up are so inspiring. So give them your Instagram handle.
I had to think about it for a second. It's Hey Girl.
Hey Girl.
Yeah. And Erin is E-R-I-N. And okay, why that name? So there's a reason. So Ariel, so this was back, like, you know, 2012. She passed in 2013. I think that's when people would say, hey girl. So she was always like, hey girl, hey girl, hey. And so I got on Instagram after she passed away. One of her best friends, Anna, was like, you really should go on Instagram. You can stay connected with her friends. And so I was like, okay, I'll make, yeah, hey girl, hey, Erin. So people know it's me. Yeah. So it's Hey Girl, Hey Erin. Yes.
I love that. And I always wondered why it was that. I was
There's
something behind that. I always wonder what's behind somebody's Instagram handle, especially if there's something unique about it.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I did not know. I just learned something new.
Well,
just kind of as we wrap things up, you know, I really want to honor her and celebrate her. And I feel like that we've done that with this podcast. I feel like you do that every day with your life and living out loud, because you do. And I love that. But is there anything else on your heart that you want to share with the listeners?
Well, one thought real quick Well, first, thank you for honoring her. Oh my gosh, this is her thing. Like I mentioned, you know, I went through her phone and looked at all of her, you know, videos of dancing. So she was making like podcasts and YouTube, pretend like YouTube videos. I didn't even know any of it existed. She was doing hair tutorials. She was like a, you know, 11-year-old girl doing hair, you know, and put your comments below. And I'm like, what is she talking about? I had no idea. So this, like, she's probably right now going, yes, mom, yes. Yeah, I'm sure she's loving this. But so just my last, you know, thing on my heart is, you know, if you're struggling, number one, no, you're not the only one. You're not alone, and it's okay. And you need to just find what makes you happy. And if it's, you know, exercise, if it's art, if it's music, and give yourself that space. Give yourself the space to feel what you're feeling, and know that it's okay. It's okay, and you're not always going to feel that way. One of my favorite quotes that I learned when I was growing up, I had a swim team coach that would always say two things. You know, this too shall pass, which is the truth. When you're in the thick of something, just remember this too shall pass, because it will. And then some days are diamonds, some days are stones. You know, you might have a lot of stone days that are in a row, but you're bound to have a diamond day as well. And then one of my favorite quotes ever, and this is going to date me, I think, because this is from a song and I wrote it down so I could share it with you. So Crosby, Stills, and Nash. So stuff my parents listened to. You know, I grew up 70s and 80s. There's a song called Southern Cross, and it was one of my favorite songs as a little girl, and I still love it. And the part of the chorus says, think about how many times I have fallen. Spirits are using me, larger voices calling. What heaven brought you and me cannot be forgotten. But it's just as a reminder to me that, yeah, it doesn't matter how many times you fall. It doesn't. You just get back up. And there's a reason and a purpose for everything. And it doesn't make sense. Losing a child, I have no idea what the purpose is behind it. But I just have to know and have to believe that there's a reason for everything. There's a reason for the difficult paths that we go down. There's a reason for the happy paths. And just hang in there. I guess that's the last thing I would have to say.
Thank you so much for sharing. This is awesome. Like, this is so moving, and it's hard for me to hold back a few tears myself, because you are one of the most authentic, genuine souls that I have met. And I knew when I met you through Instagram, which was been 2 years ago, I think now.
Two years ago.
And I knew just the minute that we met through Instagram, like, it was instant and there was connection. And thank you for sharing. Thank you for inspiring. Thank you for being the resilient and strong woman that you are, because you are amazing. And I know your daughter's proud, no doubt, hands down.
Thank you. Well, I appreciate the opportunity just to chat and to share her story and to have other people learn about her. And again, I think she's loving that.
I'm sure she is. I'm sure she's dancing right now.
Oh my gosh, yes. That's how you feel. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for joining me today. If you like the podcast, please like and share this with other women in your life. You can find out more about Sweatnet on sweatnet.com or follow them on Instagram at Sweatnet and Sweatnet Charlotte. You can follow me personally on Instagram at @itsealsmart. Stay tuned for the next episode of the Sweatnet Be Amazing podcast.